Good morning. Our scripture this morning will be Luke 15, verses 3 through 7, and this will be the New King James translation. So he spoke this parable to them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which has been lost.' I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 just persons who need no repentance." Insofar as possible, and if you're so inclined, if you kneel with me in prayer, please. Good morning, Father. Thank you, first of all, for the Sabbath, for a gift of a day of peace, a day of separation from the world to relax, enjoy time with you and with our family and with our church. We want to take this opportunity to thank you for all that you do provide us. We ask also, as we go through the week, there are those who are suffering, either physically or emotionally, through health problems, or lost jobs, or difficult times. We think specifically of Clara Bowman, or Bowen, who is in the hospital now. And along with her, there are plenty at her home who are having health problems, or as I said, emotional problems. We know you have a plan for each one of them, and we ask that you send them peace, healing if that's the plan, and patience in any regard to let you work your plan in their lives. Again, thank you for the gift of the Sabbath and for a day for us to rest. Be with us the rest of this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, everyone. I had an exciting text message this morning. It was from my son in Texas. Dad, Ashley's preaching today. Now that was exciting because Ashley is our second oldest grandchild. And I'm going, yes. Since I'm not technically there yet on texting, I redialed the number. Ashley, do well, you will do well, and you're 2 hours ahead of me. So no pressure now for Pastor Dennis. I don't know what her topic was, but it doesn't matter, does it? To have a 12-year-old preaching is pretty exciting. So my buttons are popping this morning because I know her church was blessed. I don't know which group she was preaching to. If it was to her church, there would be about probably 500 or 600 people there or more. So quite a group of people. I always love good news. How about you? And after this last week, I'm really ready for good news. You know, it was an interesting week. Yesterday was a very busy day for Rochelle and I because we had two funerals yesterday. Karen Schlimmer, if you will remember, had our children's story last Sabbath, and she was sharing about her dad. She didn't use the word honorable, but I will because he was sat on the bench in the Superior Court here in Ventura County for 30-some years. So he is the Honorable Larry Greenblatt, who passed away last Monday following his surgery. Came suddenly. It was a total shock to the family. But you know, it was good to be with Karen and Mike and their family yesterday. And I really appreciated all of the church members that were there to support them. Yeah, there was a great turnout. Larry, the Honorable Larry Greenblatt, was Jewish, and so it was a Jewish funeral. And as a Seventh-day Adventist pastor, I'm listening to a Jewish funeral and being blessed. I was truly blessed. But I wanted to tell more. They left something really important out. Karen understood that. Mike understood that. Wiley understood that. Samuel understood that. And Rachel understood that. But it was just sad that you wanted to get up and share the rest of the story with my Jewish brothers and sisters who don't have Jesus as we know him. There are lost sheep out there, you know that? But what a privilege it was to meet her family, to meet her brother, and just get to know them better and be a part of that special day for them. You know, they were expecting about 50 people. Instead, about 250 to 300 showed up. It was well attended. So that was incredible support for the Schlimmer family. So God was answering her prayers in regards to the warmth and the support that they were getting. Yesterday afternoon, we celebrated the life of Laverne Smith. How many of you remember Laverne and Frank? A year and a month later, Laverne passed away. Frank passed away in August of 2010, and we had his service there at the cemetery. And she was laying to rest side by side. But it's always hard when you close a chapter of your family's life. It's always challenging and difficult. But God was there with Tammy and Sally and their families. And again, I thank you for the support from our church who are there to cheer them on their way. But you know what really got my attention yesterday? I don't know if you listened to the news at all, and I don't know what's happened yet, But in Iran, there's a Christian pastor that is in prison, and he's under a death sentence. Are you aware of that? He has a wife, two precious children. He needs our prayers. They need our prayers. I heard Fred a little bit of talking about Saul's story, who we now know as Paul. Yes, there are brothers and sisters in Christ who are suffering today. We need to be praying for each other and for them. Have you found any lost sheep lately? Have you been looking for any lost sheep? When you woke up this morning, did you run through your list of family members and say, oh, yes, I need to pray for my son or my daughter, my brother or my sister, my mother or my father, or an aunt or an uncle or a friend that may be wandering out there in the wilderness somewhere? You know, what I love about this passage of Scripture, I'm going to ask you to pop up the first two verses of Luke 15. It says, notice here, it says, then all the what? Tax collectors and sinners. Now, it's interesting that he would separate tax collectors from sinners. You all know the reputation of tax collectors back in those days, and we probably think of them the same today, so to speak. We don't look forward to April 15, do we? But it's a fact of life. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to who? To Jesus. I find that exciting. Isn't that cool? To come to Jesus, you don't have to have on your robe of righteousness. You're going to receive it when you come to Jesus, but that's not a prerequisite, is it? In fact, Jesus is interested in that lost lamb. Let's read on. To all the tax collectors and all of the sinners, it says, so he spoke this parable to them, saying. And so he launches into this parable that is interesting. And the Pharisees and the scribes complain, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. I say, hallelujah. Do you say that too? Oh, wait a minute. If you're a sinner, I can't go to lunch with you today. Who's the hypocrite in that statement? The one says, if you're a sinner. Because which of us is not a sinner saved by grace? We're all lost sheep without Jesus. So then he says, what? Which of you, having 100 sheep, verse 4, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which was lost until he finds it. Until. What does the until mean? You just go out and you call a little bit out there in the darkness and say, come, lamb, come, lamb. You know, lambs aren't the brightest things in the world. How do I know that? Because I was a little shepherd. When I was growing up, I raised lambs. Now, lambs, when they're little and they're on the bottle still, they will follow you because you are their mother. They will go anywhere you go. Doesn't matter where that is. They don't think about the danger. They don't think about anything else. They just think about food. Milk in particular. And so they will follow you anywhere you go. They're really cute. But But let me tell you, when you have to get up as a little, you know, as a 9-10-year-old, you're getting up 2 and 3 times a night to feed that lamb, it gets pretty old. Now, moms, you can relate to this, right? Those of you who have children? I was a little farm boy, but you know what? I loved raising lambs. And they grew up. But they needed to be taken care of. And lambs need a shepherd. What about us? Do we need a shepherd? Choir? Any of you need a shepherd? Well, don't look at me. Look at him. Okay? Because I'm a shepherd that smells like the sheep, which means I need a shepherd. Did you catch that? Did you catch that? I choose to be a shepherd that smells like the sheep. Why? Because I'm no different than you are. You've heard me say that many times before, and I say that from the bottom of my heart. We all need Jesus. Well, Jesus is out there searching for that one lost lamb, and he finds it, and when he finds it, he does something significant. He doesn't just look at the lamb and he says, okay, follow me. He doesn't just say, go ahead of me, and shoes it along. No, no, no. Jesus reaches down. He picks that lamb up, and he says, oh, you're too dirty. I'm going to have to carry you out. No. Jesus grabs that lamb. He's so excited that he found the lamb, and he grabs it, and he lifts it over his head and puts it on his shoulder and wears that lamb home. He's carrying that lamb, and he's got his hands on that lamb's feet. And sometimes those lambs weren't lambs anymore. Sometimes they were full-grown sheep. And they aren't white. Didn't matter. That lamb was going home. And that lamb had to be back into the protective care of the fold. That's called the church today. That's called the church. That's why we're here. Did you carry a lamb in with you this morning? Good question, isn't it? And not only did he carry that lamb home, but when he got home, what did he do? He began to call out to his neighbors and his family. He said, come, come, we've got so much to rejoice over. Because now all 100 of our sheep are home. Nobody's missing. Nobody. Not one is missing. Rejoice. And the party began. You know, Luke 15 is a significant chapter because it addresses in 3 different stories the issue of what it means to be lost and found. And more on the other 2 stories starting next Sabbath. But I want you to remember today, this is what I want to leave with you today, is that we are living in a world of lost people. We all know people just outside the perimeters of this church property who need to know Jesus, don't we? I've met some interesting people this week. Thursday morning, I had a reporter from the Star in my office. He called and made an appointment. He was coming on business because he's in marketing, but so am I. Aren't we? Don't we have something to sell? And the price is so expensive, you can't afford it because it's free. He's Jewish, or, well, really isn't Jewish. He grew up in a Jewish family. His wife is Jewish. His name is Jewish, but he's found Jesus. Well, let me rephrase that. He is finding Jesus. Before he got here, he had found Jesus on Thursday morning. But he had some interesting questions that he was asking me. And so I was just kind of, we were talking about who we are as a people. So who are Seventh-day Adventists? And so we shared our backgrounds. Said, we have a lot in common, but we have more. We have the good news. We have a hope. We know Jesus is coming. The Bible tells us that. And why don't my Jewish brothers and sisters who study the Old Testament discover that too? Why not? He's there. He's everywhere in the Old Testament. He left. Interesting, I've invited him to come back and join us on a Sabbath morning. I hope he comes. Look for the opportunities to share Jesus. It's exciting. This morning, we're going to sing a hymn, and then I'm going to make a couple announcements. We're going to do two verses. And then we're going to divide for the foot washing. And those of you that may not have participated in the Ordinance of Humility before, that's you don't want to miss this. This is very special. The women will go into the cradle roll room, families into the fellowship hall, and men in the junior room. And if you don't know where those are, I'll meet you in the lobby following, and I'll help you, direct you to the appropriate place. But what a blessing it is on a Sabbath to celebrate the Lord's Supper and start with the greatest example he gave us of the act of humility, and that's to wash one another's feet. So we're going to sing a song.
Yes. Let's stand and sing this hymn 397. We'll sing the first two verses. When we come back from the washing of the feet, we're going to sing the third verse, and at the very end we'll sing the fourth verse. So let's stand and sing these first two verses.
More directions at the end.
Sent out to serve.